Hello, hello. This is Sherry from the Sherry K. Hoff Show, where we focus on living joyfully in your life and business. You can reach us at sherrykhoff.com. That's SHERIKAYEHOFF.com.
We're talking today about when is the time to change, knowing when to make changes. And I was interviewing a CEO of a company from my podcast, and we were talking about, you know, he's a multi-passionate entrepreneur. I'm a multi-passionate entrepreneur. And when you have so many different things that you're doing, how do you know when to add something, when to delete something, you know, what are the signals? And so his answer to me was, I know that it's time to change something when I feel like I've lost my mojo. So at that point, you know, he would either add a line, you know, add a division to his business or sell a business or branch out and add something completely different. So for example, one of the things he added was he's a film producer, which is totally different from everything else he had been doing. So we all have our signs that are telling us, or maybe signs isn't the right word, but signals. We have signals that are showing us when it's time to change. And if we ignore those signals, we can really set up a lot of emotional and mindset type of misery, and also, you know, create a whole cascade of behaviors that you're thinking, where is this coming from? This isn't me. So we're going to talk about how to recognize when to change and the value of doing it and how to enjoy everything when, whether you're just getting to the point of needing change or you're going through the change process or you've already been through the change process. So just know you can type questions in the Q&A box, of course. So let's just jump right in. So, so I apologize for the small print on this slide, but I'll go over each line. So don't worry too much about it. So I talked about the CEO, Tal Ganeshan, who said that for him, it was when he felt like he lost his mojo. So for me, a surprising thing that I realized, you know, because I, you know, throughout my lifetime have had a few bouts of depression, you know, like real depression where, you know, I had to definitely seek treatment. I mean, not like a constant thing, but it would kind of crop up every once in a while. But also, I can sometimes have that feeling that I'm depressed, and it's not really depression, but for me, it's a sign that, you know, I'm getting tired of what I'm doing, or I need to add a new challenge, or I need to spice things up. And so for me, and depression is serious, so I'm not minimizing depression. It's really important for me to recognize for myself that, is this really truly depression, or is this just me really being ready for a change? So, you know, maybe make that note for yourself. It could be, you know, maybe a loss of, you know, not feeling as passionate as you felt before. And so it's worth it to examine, you know, what can I do to make some changes so I can ignite that passion again? Or, you know, where is my inner guidance, my intuitive guidance, my divine guidance leading me as far as leading into the next step? Okay. All right. So here are some signals, and we're going to talk about each signal. And what I want you to do is just kind of go inward and notice, you know, is this me, and what does that mean for me? So you struggle to be in the present moment. You're obsessed with the past or only thinking about the future. So the reason why when it's time to make a change, why it's so hard to be present moment focused is the present moment might feel painful or uncomfortable or you know, sort of blasé or not meaningful. And so, you know, the easy scapegoat is to dwell on things that happened in the past, either good or bad, or to look way into the future, you know, like 3 to 5 years from now, which is a good thing to do at times, right? We want to have that 3 to 5 year plan. But if you're only there and never fully present, you're missing out on what is really life. You experience fatigue even when you're well rested. So this can also be a sign of depression. But if you, you know, just feel tired and low energy, sometimes that means that it's time to add a new challenge or change a job, change a career, shift your business. So just sort of, again, this is all about noticing. Burnout symptoms. So there's a whole list of burnout symptoms. You know, a few of them are self-doubt, feelings of failure, getting headaches, like physical symptoms. I'm going to give you some more. And don't worry, we're going to spin this into positive, but I think it is a positive to recognize where you're at right now. And you know, are you in the place where you're trying to force what you're doing to work, or maybe there is a change in what you're doing? I don't mean quit your business or quit your job, but what changes could make something, you know, just really pop a little bit more for you? Okay, so I said I would go over some some symptoms. Some other symptoms are, and these are from helpguide.org. So burnout, you know, excessive and prolonged stress. You might feel tired and drained, frequent headaches, lowered immunity, change in appetite or sleep, a sense of failure, self-doubt, loss of motivation, feeling helpless, trapped, and defeated, increasingly cynical and negative outlook, decreased satisfaction and decreased sense of accomplishment, detachment, feeling alone in the world, withdrawing from responsibilities, isolating yourself, procrastinating, using food, drugs, or alcohol to cope, talking out your frustrations to others, skipping work or coming late and leaving early. So again, those also can be signs of depression. So you kind of have to, if you're feeling like this, you have to do this self-awareness and self-reflection of journaling about really how you're feeling, not just pretending that everything's okay, and seek the advice of a medical professional. If you're truly in burnout, you probably need some medical help anyway. You know, you're most likely depleted, and whoever you use, if you use holistic healthcare, if you use traditional medicine, making sure that you're paying attention to that. Yes, yes, yes. You're settling and pretending everything is okay. So this is, you know, in Denise Tufield Thomas's book, Chill and Prosper, which is really good. I highly recommend it. But in her book, she talks about a yoga instructor that she worked with, and a massage therapist. And this massage therapist wanted to branch out and do other things, but they kept getting booked doing massages. And, you know, Denise just told her, if you keep having bookings open, you're going to have people book in for your massages. And even though that's a nice income for you, you're not going to be doing the next thing that you really see yourself doing. So sometimes it's painful because we're actually looking at something that is a revenue producer for us, but not like our total passion. There's just very, very few people that I've done for you time for, because of the fact that just because I'm tech savvy and I'm good at it doesn't mean, you know, the more time I spend doing tech, the less time I spend, you know, creating the courses I love and doing what I feel is truly my love. I mean, I enjoy everything that I do, but it isn't you know, my highest level of me to be doing that. So, you know, but it's painful to say no to any money. I mean, it really is when you're in business and you're used to like follow the money, bring the money in, and even things that you get offered that, you know, might not be totally aligned with what you're doing. Like one of the hardest things that I did was, in the first couple years of my business, I was still teaching college classes. And I realized that the amount of time I was spending grading papers, responding to students, giving lectures was all time that I wasn't spending on my business. And it also had like a tapping out point, you know, a top point of earning power. And I had to evaluate that. And it was so hard to say no. Especially in the beginning of my business, but it was a pivotal point for me when I realized, you know, this is an important step to take. So sometimes those steps are a little scary, but in order to do it, in order to do the next thing, we have to do it. So, you know, take a look at some of those kinds of things. You don't feel inspired or motivated. This is a big marker for me that, you know, I wake up, I'm pretty much inspired and motivated almost every day. And so if I go for, you know, a couple weeks or God forbid a month of not feeling inspired or motivated, that to me is a huge signal saying change something. So it could be change something in my personal life, maybe change up my workout or change up, you know, maybe seeing more friends, or it might be adding something to my business or taking something away from my business. And I've done this throughout the 15 years that I've been working on my business. I've started my business in 2007. In the first couple years, I taught a class called How to Write a Book Fast and Fabulously. And it was a really successful course. But it didn't line up perfectly with what my overall goal was for my business. So it was hard to just say, okay, this is my last time I'm teaching this course. And then on the flip side of it, when you have something that, you know, so that particular course, I loved teaching it. So it made it even more painful to say goodbye to it. So sometimes we're doing something that we really, really love, and it's time to say, okay, you know, it's like you think of sports celebrities, how very few retire when they're on the top of their game. So it's the same thing when you have a product or service and it's, you know, your cash cow, it's generating revenue, but it's really not the most aligned thing. It's tough to make that decision, but when you look at the overall experience that you're having running your business, you do not need to be the queen of everything. Okay, so sometimes we don't just look at the things that we're tired of doing, but look at the things that, you know, we love and have been a passion or, you know, like a little soul thing for us and say, you know, okay, it's time. It's time. What my daughter's cheer coaches in high school, they both moved on at the same time and they were at the top of their game with, you know, a team that was doing really, really well and several teams that had done well. But, and they loved doing it, but it was just time to recognize, time to take that particular time back and focus on different things in their lives. So, you know, I feel like it's almost more challenging when you have several things that you love to weed those out than when you're really struggling to land on that one thing that you love to do. So it's worth it to take a look at that and see, you know, maybe, you know, sometimes people sell a business when they're just, when they feel like they've gotten everything out of it that they can and don't see like the next move or the next step in that business, they'll sell the business. so that they can, you know, start something new or go in a new direction. You feel fear or stuck. So, yeah, this fear comes up when, you know, it's really comfortable to stay the same. And so when you think about rocking the boat a little bit, when you think about making some changes, you know, you can say, oh, gosh, you know, this is just so, so, so comfortable. And I'm actually in the middle of something like that because, you know, I've used Instant Teleseminar for years. It's old, reliable. It's you know, consistent. It's rarely ever down. It's easy to use. And it's easy for people to access and get the information from. But I want to do some video courses. So there's so many options when it comes to video, and I've shared before, I'm kind of going back and forth between, do I want my video format to be Zoom or do for my courses, or do I want it to be meeting, which is part of Instant Teleseminar. It's kind of a new development for them, and they have some kinks, but it's looks to be even more powerful than Zoom at some point. So it's really being in that place of being comfortable with something that works, and we say, well, if it, you know, isn't broke, don't fix it. But it's, you know, it's time for an evolution. So you'll see that play out over the next several months in terms of my offerings. And I'm not saying I'm not going to continue with Instant Teleseminar. There's just, it's so awesome for slides and, you know, just really, really wonderful. So I'm not saying I'm saying goodbye to it, but there's going to be some new ways that my courses are going to be offered. Okay, so when you feel fear or you feel stuck, you want to ask the questions. You know, what does this mean? What is it coming from? Why do I feel this way? And what would it feel like to not be stuck? What would help me get out of this stuck place? And I've talked before about sometimes when you're in that stuck place, any action helps you get out of that. It could be taking a walk around the block or running up and down your stairs or doing a load of laundry or, you know, making your bed. You know, when you feel that, and I'm talking about when you feel just kind of paralyzed, like you're not sure what to do next, or you feel, you know, just suffocated by what you're doing. I remember I was at a mastermind in San Francisco once, and one of the women that was there, she has a very successful business. And when she started talking about her business, she started crying. She said, it works, it's successful, but I'm just so tired of doing it, but I don't know what to do because I'm so well known in this niche. What do I do? And she was just feeling so torn up. And, you know, I got the impression that she was, you know, on the verge of just kind of chucking everything and going in a completely different direction. And what she ended up doing is evolving her business. Like, it's still the same kind of concept, it's still the same niche, but she changed it up enough so that she felt passionate about it again. And I have another friend who was, you know, became very well known in the marketing world, and she just decided, okay, I'm done with this part of my life, and I'm going to be an artist and paint. And, you know, she sells her paintings for thousands of dollars. But it started first as like a love thing, you know, loving to paint. So, I mean, those are, you know, that's kind of an extreme example, but, you know, I have another friend who totally stopped doing her business and became the business that she was doing and became a cake decorator. So, which, you know, when you're looking at the natural progression of things, you think, well, that doesn't seem natural at all. But to that individual person, that was the thing that was her jam in that moment. So you want to look at your business and just be honest and evaluate. And it's okay, you know, to decide to discontinue a piece of your business or an offering that you have is not failure. It's just making a decision. Or maybe it's delegating something. For the most part, aside from, you know, maybe adding and subtracting different course offerings, I've stayed with the same in the same like coaching world for 15 years. So, and I think it's the longest I've ever stayed doing any one thing, but because it's so different and I'm so willing to follow the direction my business really wants to go in. Like my business, I feel has a life force, and when it wants to move in a certain way, I allow that. I don't stay rigid and, you know, like, oh no, this is the only thing that I'm going to do. And, you know, I'm not going to follow this other thing. So it stays fresh for me, which has kept me going for 15 years in that idea of freshness. Okay. Another sign is recognizing you aren't doing the work that you want. Okay. That's the massage therapist example. She didn't want to do massage anymore, but it's what she had done for years and was the main money-making thing. So to shift out of that took a lot of faith and trust and guts, really, courage. The next one, you feel restless and want more purpose in your life. So if you want more purpose in your life, I encourage you to, you know, revisit the recordings on the Living Your Vision course. A lot of you in this group took that course, and that is really about dialing into what your vision of your life is, and it's looking at how what you do creates your legacy, and you want it to be, you know, something meaningful, and what would that meaningful thing be? You haven't made a change in a while. So sometimes you're just kind of coasting along and maybe you don't feel any of those other things, but you just haven't changed anything in a really long time. It's kind of like a restaurant, if they just have the same menu and never add anything new to the menu, it's, you know, you kind of get tired of it. You know, unless it's the type of place that offers just, you know, like one thing. Like I'm kind of thinking of like Annie's Pretzels. I mean, it's pretzels, but what kind of pretzels? So you can also ask yourself, and this takes looking at your business on a quarterly basis, on a monthly basis, on a yearly basis, and asking yourself the question, have I changed anything? It's just like I like to change up how the route I take to drive places, because if I always take the same way, you know, it's surprising how just like going down a different street gives you a whole different perspective. And another one is you've reached completion. So an example of reaching completion is, let's say you're training, like my son Jeff is training for a 100-mile race. So when he finishes the race is done. I mean, I suppose he could do another 100-mile race, but that particular race is done. And a lot of runners go through this thing, they call it even runner's depression, that if they've been training for the one thing, like the Boston Marathon or, you know, one specific thing and they complete it, it's sort of like, okay, all my energy went into that direction. Now what do I do? People go through the same thing when they publish a book. Not everybody goes through it, but it is a common thing of, okay, the book is done, it's out, it's selling, you know, now what do I focus on? So if you have this idea of change management for your life, short-term change management, long-term change management, of actually planning that change is and should be a natural occurrence, and you want to be open to change, that it'll be less painful and it'll be more joyful and quicker. You'll process through quicker than when you resist all these things. So all of these things that we've been talking about, for the most part, are kind of painful. And how long do you want to spend in that kind of painful state? So when I look at steps of change, you know, the first thing is to recognize, okay, it's time to change. It's time to add something. And then for me personally, I decide I'm going to embrace this change instead of fight it. So if I'm embracing the change, I'm cutting that resistance, and I'm open to something new. And I'm also looking at, this is a natural progression of life. This is, you know, it's natural in life. It's natural in business. And, you know, the same business principles that worked, well, a few of like the character-based principles still apply. But business has changed a lot over the last 50 years. Business has changed a lot over the last 5 years, the last 15 years. So, you know, if someone was locked in, like, let's say, an example of like personal resistance is like my parents don't online bank. They do online everything else. They'll order products delivered to their house, but for some reason, the online banking thing is too big of a change for them. So they, and it costs them time and money to not do that. My mom still does her taxes by hand. And I just can't even imagine that. I've never done my taxes by hand. I've always used like TurboTax or Tax-Free USA or something like that, the automated process that calculates the rules. And I wouldn't understand why someone would read through all the directions and changes in the tax code to do their, you know, personal taxes. So those are just kind of some fun examples. But, you know, the people who were like, I'll never have a cell phone. And there are still some people who don't. Okay, I'm not saying everyone does. But, you know, I look at just communication between my kids. Like, you know, my son at college, I can Venmo him money and he's got money immediately in seconds. Where, you know, when I was in college, it was like my parents would mail me a check and I'd have to take the check to the bank and deposit it in my account and wait for, you know, the funds to be available if they weren't available right away. So the convenience of how, you know, transferring money is just miraculous. So when you look at those kinds of changes, we want to then look at, okay, it doesn't make any sense for us to try to stay doing the same thing the same way for 5 years, or sometimes even 1 year if something's things are changing really rapidly. So, but what I don't want to have happen for you is to have you get that, you know, that feeling like with the internet, there's so much to learn and look at. You could spend, you know, all day, every day, and you, of course, would never see everything or learn everything. So you don't have to make every single change. It's just like the video thing. You know, when video first came out, I wasn't one of the first people to jump on it. And, you know, for a while I thought, you know, why am I not doing it? And I should be doing it. And then I realized, well, what I'm doing is working. It's working effectively. And I will do video when it makes sense for me. So it's not jumping on every change or every trend, but it's just recognizing that if you haven't changed at all in a long time, it will refresh you to take a look at changes. All right. So, and if you're looking at the slides, you know, and I talked about embracing change, there's a little kitty and a little puppy snuggling with each other. I thought that was perfect for embracing. but embrace the in-between. So from the time that you recognize, okay, I'm going to change something, to that point when you actually change it, learn to look forward to that in-between time, because that in-between time is a time of growth. You know, don't resent it. Don't wish it away. Just say, okay, this is part of my journey. You can see it as positive. You can see it as natural. See it as guidance. So these signals, even though the list that we went through, some of them feel kind of painful, you look at it as guidance. Like, you know, when your stomach grumbles, you're hungry. It's saying, eat some food. When you're tired, it's saying, sleep, take a nap, or go to bed. So we look at those signals as things that are helping point our way in life, helping to direct our lives. So again, it's the message of dropping the resistance and embracing the moment, accepting the moment, being fully in the moment. And that is perfectly okay to make decisions to do different things. Okay, I'm going to do some tapping here, and I'm going to tap on positive change. So I think the turnaround statement is resistance. So even though I resist change, I love and accept myself. Even though I resist change, I love and accept myself. Even though I resist change, I love and accept myself. And then you want to go to a tapping point. And if you're new to the group, I have a video tutorial on how to do modified tapping. So you can check that out on YouTube or in the Inner Circle course area on my website. But in modified tapping, we're not going through a certain ordered sequence. We're tapping wherever you want to tap on the tapping points. So I'm tapping over my eye, like right above, kind of on my eyebrow, a little bit above. And now we're breaking it down. These signals for change can be painful. I don't like procrastinating. I feel stressed when I'm not inspired or motivated. I feel stressed when I have physical symptoms. And resistance makes me feel stressed. All these feelings are completely normal. I love, honor, and accept myself. I've been through many changes in my life. All the changes have had some positive impact on my life. Change is normal. I can initiate change instead of resist change. On a cellular and DNA level, I'm activating positive change. On a cellular and DNA level, I'm releasing resistance. On a cellular and DNA level, I'm embracing change. On a cellular and DNA level, I'm recognizing the signals for change. On a cellular and DNA level, I'm receiving permission to make changes. On a cellular and DNA level, I'm open to receiving abundance, guidance, and positive change. On a cellular and DNA level, I'm activating success in whatever form it takes. on a cellular and DNA level, I'm activating inspiration and motivation. On a cellular and DNA level, I'm activating passion. I am embracing change. I'm making positive changes. I am wise. I am self-aware. I am strong. I am courageous. I am abundant. I am prosperous. I make a difference. I do good things. Everything is always working out for me. Everything I touch prospers and succeeds. All is well. And so it is. And go ahead and take a nice deep breath in and out. And that felt pretty good. So a good thing to do after listening to this call is to journal about where you are now. What are the signals that are pointing you in a new direction? And what could that new direction possibly be? And, you know, don't have angst over it or force it. You can even ask God for guidance. You can say, you know, God, show me the way, show me the steps, show me the change. And you could also have an intention that you're going to get those answers quickly. So you don't have to, you know, we say that sometimes answers come right away. Sometimes something will pop in your mind in a day or a week. But you can fully have that intention that you get that guidance right away. And the more you practice it, the quicker you get it because it's your intention. If you're saying, you know, like think of, you know, if you tell somebody you need something by Tuesday, that person might not be thinking about it till Monday. Okay. I'm not saying God operates in the same way, but just as things can take a while, things can happen fast. So just open up to that possibility. Okay. I love you. Have a wonderful day, afternoon, evening, whenever you're listening to this, and I will talk to you soon. Take care. Bye-bye.
This episode is sponsored by the Living Your Vision course for creating your optimal life. This course is for creating and fulfilling your dream. Make your dreams your reality instead of a someday idea. Set your vision for your life in motion. Move from trying to be just a little bit better and shift to deliberately creating the life you want at the level you want. Most people are not purposely thinking small. They just have never considered or allowed themselves to think bigger or even on an epic level. Even big thinkers, perhaps you're one of them, often say, I just don't have time to devote to developing a detailed vision of how I want my life to be. What's stopping you from creating your vision the way you really want it? What if you let go of anything that is stopping or blocking you? What if you stepped into your creative zone and designed a compelling vision that drove all of your daily habits and decisions? You can check out the Living Your Vision course at sherrykayhoff.com. That's sherrykayehoff.com. And you'll want to go to the coaching and courses tab.